श्रीमद् भागवतम महापुराण की जय। श्रीमती राधा रानी की जय। रहस्य पंच अध्याय चैप्टर्स 29 टू 33 ऑफ द 10th कैंटो, द इमॉर्टल इटर्नल लव स्टोरी ऑफ कृष्णा एंड हिज डिवोटीज, गोज ऑन एंड ऑन एंड ऑन, यूनिवर्स आफ्टर यूनिवर्स, एंटरिंग वन यूनिवर्स and manifesting his Leela, leaving that universe and leaving behind an invitation to all future people, that universe inhabitants, to come join my dance. Then he goes to the next universe and presents his love story, the Rasa dance. Then he leaves, invites everyone, Krishne Sadamo Bhagate. Upagate, come with me to my Dham, Krishna Sadham, Goloka Dham, Sri Dham Vrindavan, Krishna Sadham, Om Upagate. Krishna was here 5,000 years ago. His Leelas are eternal in their Nam form, in their Rup form, Guna Leela, Pushtak form, Sakshat form, always there. The Puranas are eternal. Shabda Brahman is eternal. Shabda Brahman, eternal sound. Krishna's Leelas are eternally existing in sound. And the invitation to conditioned souls is eternally existing in sound. At any time, any place, one can accept Krishna's invitation. It's an invitation to surrender in love. It's an invitation to enjoy a dance, a party, a festival, Rasotsava, Rasa Krita. Accept the invitation, embrace Krishna, and live with Krishna forever. This is the invitation of the Rasa Dance. Text 15. Kamam krodam bayam sneham aikyam saridam eva cha nityam haro virarato yanti tan mayatam ite. Translation. Shukadeva Goswami said to Maharaj Parikshit, persons who constantly direct their lust, anger, fear, protective affection, feeling of impersonal oneness, or friendship toward Lord Hari are sure to become absorbed in thought of him. Prabhupada's translation. The conclusion is that if one somehow or other becomes attached to Krishna or attracted to him, either because of his beauty, quality, opulence, fame, strength, renunciation, or knowledge, or even through lust, fear, affection, and friendship, is salvation and freedom from material contamination. It's guaranteed. And we began this, mentioned this yesterday. So we look at these verses, very interesting. And the first two padas has kam, krodh, bhayam, sneham. It has three negative qualities here. Kam, krodh, bhayam. These are negative emotions. Kam, krodh, bhayam. Lust, anger, and fear. These are emotions, and they're negative. They're not productive or positive. We don't like to be fearful, and we don't like to be angry and lusty. It hurts us, it pinches us. And so we consider that things we don't like or don't want are negative, undesirables. Eliminate the undesirables and accept the desirables. That's the principle of bhakti. Anukulina sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam. Accept the desirables and eliminate and reject the undesirables. So then he lists three negative emotions, and then Shukadeva follows by, so you can approach Krishna with a negative mood. not anukulya, negative, with fear, anger, lust. Then he lists three positives. But in this case, both are do's. It's not do or don't. Do approach Krishna, that's the do. Approach him with negative emotions, lust, anger, and fear. Or approach Krishna with positive emotions. What are they? And they're listed here as Sneham Aikyam Soridam. Aikyam, it's listed as unity, and there's different translations given by the different acharyas. Sneham Aikyam Soridam. Sneha, these are actually shades of the same thing. Sneha means loving affection, and Aikyam is generally translated by BBT as unity, like Ek Dotin Aikyam. But Vishnu says it means loving attachment, intimacy. So he describes these like this. Because Aikyam, very interesting, you can see there's the Bahirvichar and Antarvichar, the external understanding or meaning and the internal meaning. Aikyam means one. Yes, okay. Unity. But unity, when we're talking about a love story and you're talking about unity, and you're talking about conjugal unity, then Aikyam doesn't mean the one or harmony of many, many voices singing on key. But it means, as is described here, these are three positive emotions to approach Krishna with: loving attachment, intimacy, and affection. This is how these three are translated. Aikyam is loving is intimacy. And loving attachment is soridam, and sneha means affection. Soridam means surit, good heart, deep in the heart. So that's why it's translated as sneham is loving attachment, aikyam is intimacy, obviously oneness is intimacy, and soridam is affection. Friendly. It says that. It says friendship. Friendship means affection. All of these positive emotions are found in persons of this world. Isn't it? We have affection, we have loving attachment, we have unity. And these are essential emotions within the rasas between Krishna and his associates in the spiritual world. Goloka, Sridham, Vrindavan. So these are very much working in the relationships here in the material world. Intimacy, loving affection, friendship. He's my friend, she is my intimate lover, wife, husband. This is my child, I'm very affectionate. I have sneha for my child. I have very warm affection. Snigda, affection, a soft spot, part. But these negative emotions you don't find in the spiritual world. There's no lust in Krishna's dealings with the gopis or anyone else, and there's no anger or any fear, the kind of anger and fear that we know of. There's anger and love also, and fear and love, and that's what makes up their pastimes. So let's see the word for word meanings here, beginning with that we're just going to discuss some of the positive points here. First I want to discuss the tikkas, then I'll go to the word for word. Because it oftentimes in the commentaries of the acharyas, the word for word is also included there. So we'll look at those commentaries. No, that's not the wrong one. Too many books here. This one. So we have Sridhar Swami's commentary, and then Vishwanath Madhvacharya and Srila Prabhupada. So Sridhar Maharaj, he doesn't say very much on this particular point. He says this verse is talking about positive emotions or negative emotions by fear or lust or anger or affection or intimacy or attachment. Once you become attached to Krishna, approach him, offer these feelings, be they positive or negative, solely and completely to Bhagavan Sri Krishna. And they will benefit us. They will liberate us and give us love. And then he says, Shira Maharajit, Shira Swami rather, is very brief. Therefore, what Shukadev Goswami is saying, to become somehow or other attached to Krishna is the cause of liberation. Because the whole idea here is that the gopis became attached by lust, and they became so-called lust, and they became liberated from all their negative qualities, and of course, the perfection of life. So he says that, and now Vishnu Chakravarti says a little bit more. He says, listen, Parikshit, you should understand the conclusion very clearly. The Braja gopis and others always offered their lust, or their mood of lust. They worship Krishna with a mood of lust. They offer their lust to Krishna. Shishupal offered his hatred. Vanacharya, he writes it, he translates Vishnu commentaries, offered his lust, offered his hatred, offered his fear. And BBT says they worshipped. It's a very interesting thing. Because if you worship someone, you offer something to them. Yes? Patram Pushpam, you're worshipping Krishna, you offer something. You're doing puja, then you offer something. It's called worship, archan, that you're actually offering. And the ultimate offering is bhakti prachiti. It's your heart, your devotion. Okay, so many external objects are there. Samagri, puja samagri, leaves and flowers and chandan and sandalwood and boga and water and poshak, dress and vesh. But the real thing is the backing, the ingredient of loving, favorable loving devotion, with a mood to please, the mood to satisfy without any independent selfishness or mood of enjoyment. So that loving quality is what most pleases Krishna in any offering or any puja or worship. So we feel lusty that we should offer, or Krishna, I'm offering my lust to you. Instead of writing Patram Pushram Phalam Toyam, sometimes we make a joke. It says we should worship Krishna with love and devotion. We have that phrase, right? We should worship Krishna with love and devotion. We should offer these things. Anyone who offers me a leaf, a flower, water, or fruit with love and devotion. So generally our offerings are very quick. So I see anyone who offers me water and food and fruits with lust and commotion. Instead of love and devotion, lust and commotion. Commotion means passion, fast, fatafat. Krishna, here, here's Tulsi, yeah, Tulsi here. Namo Mahabhava, 5 minutes, 6 minutes, okay. So here, literally, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur is saying, offer, he who offers me with lust and anger and fear, then I accept his offering and I give him love in return. You offer lust to Krishna, you get love. You offer greed to Krishna, you get generosity and charity in return. You offer fear to Krishna, you get abhay in return. You get fearlessness, determination, conviction, faith, sudrida vishwas. Sudridha Vishwas. Oh, we're fearful. So we take shelter of Krishna and we become determined and fearless and convinced and empowered. Sometimes devotees feel debilitated or dysfunctional or weak, weak in the knees, either on Sankirtan or when they're giving a class or about to give a class or engaged in any service they've never done or trying to do for the first time. And they're so nervous about it, and they're so worried about it, which is good. That's love. To be nervous about a service, and be worried about the outcome, and be very particular about it, and lose sleep over it, that's very good. That's bhakti. That's loving concern and attachment. But we can also, at those times of weakness or indecision or lack of determination in the face of a difficult service, it's a good time to take shelter of Krishna. Cry out for mercy. Krishna's Kaviraj says if one begins a very difficult task, he can make it much easier by taking shelter of five factors. five factors of mercy, five tattvas, the pancha tattva. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasti Gaur Bhakti. Bhakti Shakti and Sandini Shakti and Prem Shakti and all those different Shaktis combined will make one very successful. So he says, Krishna's Kaviraj says, anyone, by remembering the Pancha Tattva, a difficult task becomes easy. And devotional service or Krishna's seva sometimes becomes very difficult. So the Pancha Tattva there, five forms of mercy, five forms of Shakti and energy to combine within to combine and present themselves to us for our empowerment and for our determination and fearlessness and success in our duty. So they worship with the mood of lust. Shishupal offered his hatred to Krishna with the mood of anger, krodha. Kamsa offered his fear, the mood of fear. Nanda Maharaj, he offered parental love, sneha, vatsalya, affection. They have that idea in India and families. Generally, the youngest child used to have large families, 10 children, 12 children, 6 children. So the last one of the string or group, batch, whatever, the siblings, the last one usually got the most affection, and the term is used, snigdha or sneha. He would be the special child. So this word often applies in this vatsalya bhava, parental love. The self-satisfied sages, they worship Krishna with a mood of oneness, aikya. The Brishnis, Pandavas, and others, they worship in a mood of friendship. You've heard of the Pandavas and Arjuna. Saketi. He said, Krishna, I thought of you as my friend. Oh, Krishna Saketi. But I see that your God, your Virata Rupa is being shown here. All your power and grandeur and pomp and omnipotency and omnipresence before me. Oh, my dear friend, Saketi, my Sakha. Because his relationship, Pandava Arjuna, is one of friendship. There's something like equals. And there's some family relationship also. So then the Pandavas, they worship Krishna in a mood of friendship. And Vishnu tells, in whichever mood they worship Krishna, they realize the respective eternal pastimes, tanmayatam. Very interesting. Yanti tanmayatam hite. Yanti means to go to, they achieve, they attained. Tanmayatam, often tanmayatam means mixed with that, tat mayatam, oneness with that, saturated with that, tan mayatam. So it can mean, in one sense, to merge in Brahman. Brahmasyuja Mukti is a type of tanmoy bhav, the existent and existence of oneness, Brahmasyuja Mukti. But in this case, Vishnu Chakravarti says that they became one with Krishna according to their bhav, their mood, and a particular pastime place or particular pastime relationship, astahi bhav, as mother, vatsalya bhav, or putana, or as servant, or as doorkeeper, etc. Dasya rati, or sakya rati. Arjuna worshipped Krishna in the mood of friendship, and he became tanmayatam. Yanti tanmayatam, he left this world and went to Vaikuntha to serve Krishna and that friendship mood from Vishnu. And then he has another form also. Arjuna is a Sakha in the spiritual world. There's Arjuna of Vaikuntha, there's Arjuna of Goloka, there's Arjuna of Kurukshetra. Many different expansions are there of these parishads of the Lord. So this is, he's kind of incorporating all these words in his purport. This verse tells us that the various pastimes of all these persons are eternal. Even today, that's very interesting, the various pastimes are eternal, going on in some universe, or described in shastras. And these pastimes tell us that as these pastimes happened with Shishupal 5,000 years ago in Indraprastha in Delhi, and the pastimes with the gopis in Vrindavan, and the pastimes with Nanda Maharaj in Gokul, Chatikara, and Nandagaon, even today, anyone who maintains or has one of these individual bhavas or moods towards Krishna, he will achieve Krishna, tanmayatam. If you're so hateful of Krishna, I hate Krishna. And they're just hating him day and night. And you hate him so much, you want to have posters of Krishna, you have posters and pictures of Krishna on all the walls of your house. And all in your cars when you come home. Oh, I hate you, Krishna. So you don't even have a television because you don't want to be distracted to some Bollywood stars or any kind of Maya devis. You're fixed in hatred on Krishna. So you have a Krishna T-shirt and a Krishna, watch and a Krishna doorbell that says Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. You ring the doorbell, yeah. You come home, you ring the doorbell for your wife to open the door, and Prabhupada comes on the doorbell. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Ah, I hate this Krishna. And you get in your car and you put on CDs of Krishna Bhajan. Ah, what is this? Krishna, Krishna, hey, Hare Krishna. I hate this Krishna. So you're absorbed. That's what it was with Shishupal. It was 24/7 hatred of Krishna. He really hated him. He was envious. And the same thing with Kans. He was in Bhayam. Oh, the eighth son of Devaki. Devaki Nandan will kill me. When will he come? Where will he come? How will he come? Will he come through the sky? Oh, I have the sky covered with Keshri Putana. Will he come through the water? I have the water covered with Kaliya. He comes through the water if he tries to do some progmen. In the wartime, they have these type of sailors or navy people called frogmen. They have masks and some air tank, and they go under the water and put bombs on your ship and swim away and blow up your boat. They have it called frogmen. Some detail, the navy. So will Krishna come by water? Oh, I have Kaliya there to bite him in. Will Krishna come by the air? Then I have Keshri Putana, who flies in the air to catch him. Maybe he comes in like World Trade Center program. Try to bomb the capital of Kansa, crashes twin towers. And Krishna may come crouched down. He may come crouched down very close to the ground, like these Viet Cong fighters, and crawl up on the ground very secretly, like infantry. But then I have Agasura crawling on the ground to bite him. Or Krishna may disguise himself as a Kshatriya and hop on a horse and try to come in and kill me on a horse. I have Keshi to eat that horse, because Keshi is a man-eater. And Garga Samhita explained how Keshi was eating so many Brijvasis for lunch. He'd eat horses, anything. He was a horse, took that form. He was like a dinosaur, monster movie. It was very vicious. And he was harassing Parjanya Maharaj, Nanda Maharaj's father. So he's a long-time enemy of the Brijvasis, Keshi, very vicious. So in this way, and then maybe Krishna decides to come in with his father. Maybe Krishna hops on a bullock cart, a bail gadi, and he comes in, and the bail gadi is full of big bartans, full of yogurt and ghee, to give a donation to Kans, because his father, Nanda Maharaj, would go every year and pay his taxes with a bullock cart, loaded with big brass pots of ghee and butter. So perchance, Kansa is so fearful, he's thinking, maybe Krishna will come on a bail gadi because he's a Vaishya. So then he had one demon take the form of a bail gadi, Shakatasura. Maybe Krishna will take the advantage. Sometimes in Braj there's some windstorms or hurricanes or some tornadoes. And when all that dust is flying in the air, Krishna will sneak in through that dust, through that fog, and then he'll kill me. But then I have Trinavarta. Trinavarta, if he tries to come in through the dust, then Trinavarta will grab him and kill him. So in this way, Kansa is covering all the possible ways that someone may kill him. In the sky, in a storm, under the water, by horse, by sneaking up in the land. Or maybe Krishna will try to. There's so many things like this, as he explained. Because all, everything, why? Because so basically it reminds us of Haranyakashipu. Yes? Haranyakashipu got a benediction from Brahma. Remember? And he said, Brahma, I want to become immortal. I don't want to be killed in the daytime or the nighttime, in the house or out of the house, by a man or an animal, by any weapon. Remember? Not in the day or night, not in the house or out of the house. So then Brahma said, yes, tatastu bhavatu bhavatu. So Haranyakashipu tried to cover all the conditions, all the possible conditions and circumstances, kaladesha patra, by which may combine together to produce his demise. So Kamsa did the same thing. Kamsa did that in Dwapara Yuga, Haranyakashipu did it in Satya Yuga, and Kamsa and Haranyakashipu were the same person. The same mentality, birth after birth. Shishupa, who is this? Jayavijaya became Haranyakashipu, Haranyaksha. Ravana, Kumbhakarna. Shishupa, Dantavakra. Oh, excuse me, Kamsa's. Who is he? Ravana. Excuse me, he's Ravana, yes? No, he's not Kalanemi. He's Kalanemi. Kalanemi, because the six sons of Kalanemi were killed. All right. So Kalanemi, but his Kala was up. Kalanasht. He was Kalanemi in a previous life, but Prabhupada Krishna made him Kalanasht. He finished his time because he killed him. So this is, he's saying this. This is his purport. He's anyone today who has justice won, he, for an interesting reason, he's commenting on this word, tanmayatam. Yanti tanmayatam hite. Tanmoy. You must have heard this term. Become tadatmika with the guru, or tanmoy with the guru. Even there's some doctor named Tanmoy. He wants you to become one with his medicines. And may be successful, hopefully. Just as one who maintain, just as one is attached to women is called Sri Maya, attached to women. The gopis are called Tanmaya, which means totally absorbed in Krishna. For others that are mentioned in this purport, Tanmayata, for other people not mentioned in this purport, Tanmayata means Sayujya, merging in the Brahma Jyoti, which I mentioned. Oneness with that. I want to be one with that, Brahman, and then my and I cease to exist as I give up my individuality and merge in Brahma Sayujya, Kaivalya. So this is the purport of Vishnava Chakravarti Thakur. Now we can see the Madhvacharya has some purport here. Now we can see the word for word Srila Prabhupada's purport, which is quite interesting. We'll see the word Madhvacharya, he says like this. He quotes some verses from Skanda Puran as his praman to prove his point. And he says this. Madhvacharya, commenting on this verse 29:15 from Bhagavatam, 10th canto, he quotes Skanda Puran to emphatically declare that persons like the gopis, they're liberated souls beyond material illusion. So he states that in his own words, as is the nature of speakers. Anyone who gives a class will speak his own words, and then he'll support that by quoting a tattva, a lila, some shastra praman, prameya. Proof, evidence, praman. So then he says, the Skanda Puran very convincingly states that persons like the gopis, they're liberated souls. They're completely beyond the pale of illusion or the covering of illusion. So this is the whole premise here, that people say the gopis were lusty, they wanted to take Krishna, they wanted Krishna put his feet on their breast, they wanted to embrace Krishna, kiss him, and dance with him. It sounds like the normal impulses or desires of ambitions of a lusty woman approaching her beloved. But this is not accepted, because every lusty person of this world the force of their lust is demanding self-satisfaction. We're lusty to become we want to satisfy our lust, become happy by fulfilling our lust. And it's an intense drive, an intense feeling, a burning sensation, an agitation, a source of disturbance and distraction for the human being. The gopi's so-called lust is actually, as I mentioned, it's intense. It's an intensity of love that we can only vaguely understand by relating to the concept or the experience of material lust, their kamam. It's actually intense love, because their aim and ambition is not self-satisfaction, but the satisfaction of Krishna's senses, his happiness, his pleasure. Krishna will like this. Krishna will like to dance with me. Krishna wants to embrace me. Krishna wants to kiss me. Krishna wants to be with me. So I should be there to please him and offer him whatever he wants. Whatever desire he has for his pleasure, let me be the vehicle and instrument to fulfill that. So there's no selfishness. It's selfless love of the gopis. It appears to be lawless love of the gopis, because they aren't following the law of varna dharma. They're not following the law of ashram dharma. They're simply following the law of love. And in love, there are no laws. It's just the free flow of the desire of the beloved. However, the beloved's desires flow in this way or that way, the beloved's desires flow in a friendly, harmonious mood of meeting and enjoying, or the beloved's desires flow in a contrary, separating mood of disappearing or showing unfavorability or disinterest, fine. I flow with that river flow. Just like a particle floating in a river, there may be some leaf, and it falls off the tree and it lands in the river. Wherever the river moves, that leaf will follow. It will not move in an independent course. It's floating. That dried leaf from the banyan tree hanging over the river, it lands in the river and it floats. If the river goes this way and that way, and then it goes over a waterfall, some rivers up in the mountains, they go like this, and they go over a waterfall, and they descend for 200 feet, doom, and then they create a pool, then more river, and on down to the ocean. The leaf is just going with the flow. That's the hearts of the gopis. They're like dried leaves. Not dry, they're fresh leaves, very moist. And they're just floating in the river of Krishna's desire and wants, where is love. And that's clearly and very concisely told in Shikshastakam. Ashlishyava paratam panashtam andarshanam mamatam karutava yata tata va viradanti lapato mat prananatsas to sevana praha. So Krishna, you can be favorable and affectionate and intimate and kind and near me and embrace me and thrill me with your touch and be thrilled by mine. Or you can cast me away. You can even trample me under your feet, like something you don't want. Just crush me under your feet. And ignore me and neglect me. Deny me. And insult me. Right in front of my face, you can go to another gopi. You can dance with gopis in front of my face. You can enjoy them in front of my face. If that makes you happy, okay. So be it. And if you express, my dear beloved, that you're very interested in some gopi who is not seemingly looking at you or showing any interest in you, I will go to that gopi and enlist in her service. I will say, oh, gopi, oh, Sakhi, please accept me as your palyadasi, as your dasi. I want to please you and satisfy you. And then I'll enlist myself in that Sakhi's seva. Because I know that your desire is of that Sakhi's association and the intimacy and pleasures of love to be experience with that Sakhi, but she's showing a contrary mood, apparently not interested, playing hard to get or impossible to get. Serving her for some time, I will gain her favor, and she'll say, hey Sakhi, hey Radha, what do you want? Oh, will you be Will you glance favorably upon my Shamsundar? Will you consign to befriend my Priyatam? Yeah. You've been so kind to me. You've been serving so intimately and so submissively and so steadily with so much determination and enthusiasm, which are all good qualities of a Sevite. Then surely I will acquiesce and follow your desire. I will meet that Shamasundar, that Lampat that he is, that Kapat Lampat that he is. Anyway, this is told in Anti Leela and the commentary by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on this prayer from Shikshastakam. To that extent, that's Radharani's love. And then in the context of that, she summarizes it, it says, I have so much lust to please Krishna. I have so much kam. I'm kamani radha. I'm kameshwari. He is kamadev, and I am kamadevi. I am kamani, and he's kamanath. He is kamvan, possessor of kam. That if Krishna finds happiness, this is the final thing Radharani says. If my Krishna, my beloved, my Priyatam, my Pyar, if he finds happiness by making me unhappy and breaking my heart and cracking my mind, then I will accept willingly and thankfully, gratefully, I will accept that intense anguish and distress and unhappiness which I am undergoing at his hands to be the source of my greatest joy and bliss, happiness. This is the intensity of the quote-unquote lust or the intense love of Radharani and other gopis. Of course, Radharani is the greatest. So by this, Madhvacharya is saying here, at least he's saying that persons like the gopis are liberated souls. He said, and then he quotes the verse, Bhaktya hi nitya kam kami tvam natu muktim vina bhavet ata kami taya vapi muktir bhakti matam haro. Eternal conjugal attraction to Krishna, nitya kami tvam, expressed in bhakti, cannot develop in one who is not already liberated. Bhavet, cannot manifest or exist. Vina, not to. Vina, without being liberated already, you can't have this love, he says. Thus, those who are so devoted to Lord Hari, even in conjugal attraction, are proven to be already liberated souls. In other words, this devotional service is not perfect until it's free from lust. One should not take cheaply the gopi's achievement of the personal association with Krishna in a conjugal relationship. That's obvious. Thus, one should follow these injunctions until one achieves the exalted platform of intimate relationship with Krishna. So there's so much abundant evidence in Shastras and by great acharyas like Uddhava and Shiva and Brahma and everyone that the gopis of Vrindavan are highly elevated, liberated souls. They were Siddha sages. The siddha, sadhana siddha gopis or the sadhana siddha, they were sadhana siddha. As we are aspiring to be sadhana siddha in our sadhana practices. So the rishicharis and shruticharis, they attained their siddhi by following the gopis in Rag Marg, as Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is telling. And they attained gopihood. They attained gopi deha and gopi janam and the prakat lila of Krishna and Bhoma Vrindavan. Obviously, they were so much elevated, liberated souls. And thus, their pastimes with Krishna are pure spiritual affairs. Keeping this in mind, we can truly understand that this chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, that all the time in our mind, and of course Shukadeva Goswami in this series of verses is reminding us, and we can remind ourselves also as we hear and progress, that these activities of the gopis are completely transcendental affairs. And those beloveds, so the beloveds are called gopis, they're using terms like his lovers, his kantas, Krishna kanta. So generally when we use terms like a hero and a heroine, nayak and nayaka, or beloved, a lover and a beloved, the kanta, and you're talking about the context of these terms or these personalities, dancing, kissing, embracing, scratching, etc., entering the water, that one doesn't think of liberated souls. He doesn't think of niskinshan vairagis. Niskinshan vairagis or mystic or yogis. It seems incompatible, or incompatible. It doesn't seem quite correct. On one side you're saying lover and beloved. On the other side you're saying they're the greatest liberated souls. And they're worshipped by even Atmaram Munis. Atmaram Munis are worshipping Radharani. And she has an illicit love affair with Krishna. Parakiya Bhav. And they're completely celibate monks for thousands and thousands of years. Vairagi sannyasis, paramahamsas. There's no tint of any contamination, material contamination in their minds or hearts. And they're worshipping what externally looks like some lusty village girls. But by their very worship and honor and glorification of the gopis, that itself indicates the supreme spotlessness of their behavior, their immaculate consciousness and pure hearts. So this we keep in the background of our minds so that we don't tend to become relativized to gopis and minimize them to, well, they're like some girls of this world that I know or I knew, and make offense thereby. So that's why they say, fools rush in where angels dare to tread. Something. Fear to tread. So we're rushing in the following the footsteps of our guru parampara with our acharya's commentaries. We're not exactly rushing in. This is verse number 15. And the classes have been going on for 10 days and 30 days, that's 40 days, 80 hours of classes. And the Krishna hasn't even started talking to his beloveds yet. He's just sent an invitation. You get an invitation for a party. We're still at the invitation to the party stage. Someone, a hero, has invited the heroine and the heroines to a dance party. That's all we know so far. So now we'll look at the word for word, some small little examination of some of the word for word. Aikyam, these are the words that are commented on. The rasic janas, the rasic acharyas don't feel any need to comment on kam, krodh, and bhayam. They kind of ignore those. But these are some key words of the verse. Aikyam. As I mentioned, aikyam means unity, oneness. But Sridhar Swami, 1200 years ago, in his own rasic way, he said aikyam means relationship. And he said the best meaning of this word aikyam in relation to this verse, kamam krodham bhayam sneham aikyam solidam evacha nityam haro vidadato yanti tan mayatam hite. The best meaning is intimacy, it best means intimacy in context of this verse, in relationship with Krishna as devotees. So the idea is that whether one has surat bhav, he has surat bhav, which is friendship. Bhaktaram yagatapasam, sarvaloka maheshram, suridam sarvabhutanam. Suridam sarvabhutanam, that mood of friendship, dina bandhu, Krishna is a friend of the fallen, bandhu, surit. So whether this applies to devotees, whether they're in friendship mood, or whether they're very affectionate mood of a loving parent, or they're in the intimate mood of of a harmonious and beloved Sakhi, this word applies to them. For with Krishna's devotees, Aikya means intimacy in relationship with Krishna. This is the meaning of Aikya, according to Sridhar Swami. And that's a fact. Every devotee has his personal, individual, eternal, intimate relationship with Krishna, or albeit Radha and Krishna, if that's one's sthayi bhav. And often the question is asked, well, there seems to be so many lines of parampara and so many hundreds of years now past and so many hundreds of years in the future. Thousands of sadhakas will attain perfection and Sarup Siddhi and attain their siddhadeyas, realize their siddhadeyas and take birth, appear in Bhola Vrindavan and Prakat Leela. How will they all be accommodated? There's only one Radha and Krishna. There's only one Ras Mandala. So there's thousands and thousands of Sakhis and Mantris. And the Acharyas explain that it's because it's Nara Leela and because it's Krishna's Achintya Shakti and Yogamaya is working there. Everywhere there's a small group, and that fact is proven, we've discussed many times. When Narada Muni in Dwarka Leela, Krishna book, Dasama Skanda, when he went from palace to palace, 16,000 palaces, he saw 16,000 Krishnas. He saw 16,000 Vasudevs. He saw 16,000 Devakis, 16,000 Ugrasains. The whole Parivar was there. And one palace is Rukmini, and then Krishna's father and mother and relatives. Another palace is Satyabhama, and Krishna's father and mother. So the idea, it's called Parakoshta. Parakoshta means compartmentalized. The koshtas, when you go in the temple, you have one Griha Garbha, sanctum sanctorium, altar, and Gornitai. And then in the middle, it's Jagannath, at least they have in New Jagannath Puri in Berkeley, main deities. Then the right-hand side was Radha and Krishna. Or the middle altar is Krishna Balaram. And then the other altar is Radhasham. So the same way when one goes to the spiritual world is compartmentalized. It's your guru, your Sakhi Parampara, and the Asta Sakhis, Nasta Mandris, and then Radha and Krishna, and Seva Kunja Nidivan, Rasa Stali, and others. So you have, that's why we say my Radha, my. You see in the bhajans, in Bengali bhajans, say more Pradhanath, more Radha, more Krishna. This mamata. So have you seen my Thakurji? Have you seen my Thakur? Have you seen my deities? Yes, I said this before. So in the same way, each devotee will have his aikyam, his intimate relationship with Krishna according to his permanent mood of love. And then Sridhar Swami, he explains, what does the word sorida mean? Sorida means friendship. But in this case, he says that sorida represents Bhakti Devi, Shri. So he says, oneness, aikyam soridam, means relationship of devotion. Aikyam Saridam, a relationship of devotion or bhakti. Then Tanmayatam. Tanmayatam means absorption. It means full absorption. Because it says Nityam Haro Vidarato. That they exhibited, they always... That's why Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that these pastimes with these devotees representing these negative emotions of fear and lust and anger. And these pastimes of the devotees or the personalities representing positive emotions of sneha and surit and aikyam, intimacy and conjugal love. They're eternal and they're existing. And even today and for all days in the future, anyone who follows these devotees or these particular moods of love or approach towards Krishna, he will yanti, hari yanti. Yanti tanmayatamita. He will attain an eternal relationship with Krishna, as they did. And why does he say their pastimes are eternal? Because this word, nityam haro vidadato. Vidha Vidadata means exhibiting or displaying. These emotions, three positive and three negative, nityam, haro, vidadato. They are nityam, vidadato, eternally being exhibited and displayed with Lord Hari, either in Voma Vrindavan or Goloka, or right here as a sadhaka. In our relationship, this emotion, we may display this emotion of lust and lust after Krishna and follow the gopi anugata with their intense surrender and their intense dedication, which is practically to the on the brink of madness and attachment like lust. So then nityam haro viradato, we will display that feeling with Hari, and that will bring us to eternity. So then Sridhar Swami says, Tanmayatam means full absorption in God, Bhagavan Sri Krishna, which liberates one from the material world. All these emotions, these six emotions, positive and negative, listed in verse 15, are powerful, and they allow one to become fully absorbed in God. So now he's saying, it's very interesting, he's saying, see these six emotions? They're powerful. What kind of power? Tanmaya, tanmayatam shakti. Tanmayatam shakti. They have shakti, power, influence, prabhav, propulsion. So much propulsion, they can, like a rocket ship, they can take you, like a rocket ship has jet propulsion. So much propulsion, this heavy rocket ship with some satellite or space travelers, whatever, spacemen, sitting there. And it takes off from the ground, rises through the atmosphere and ionosphere, the stratosphere, atmosphere, stratosphere, ionosphere, and it goes up beyond to this weightless realm. And there's so much power and force required to penetrate all those gravitational layers, the intense pushing down forces. So that's yanti, they attain by that power, by that jet propulsion. So tanmayatam, yanti, haro yanti, hari yanti, one attains hari by the force of tanmayatam, what he's saying here. And what is that? What is that tanmayatam shakti? In these emotions, in these bhavs, kam bhav, krodha bhav, bhayam bhav, sneha bhav, surit bhav, the mood, the bhav, the friendship. There's so much power. Isn't there power in true friendship? Isn't there power in true conjugal love? So much power. Isn't there power in parental affection? How much power is there in parental affection? A mother's love for her son. She'll die for her son. That's power. She'll do anything for her son or children, daughter. So he's saying that he's making very nice of this full absorption. These emotions are so powerful that they allow one to become fully absorbed in God. Do you have these emotions? Oh, Krishna's there, okay, you know, Hare Krishna. I'm not angry with him, and I'm not lusting after him. I'm not afraid of him. He's there. You ring the bell, he eats the food, you know. You take the remnants, he's quiet. It's not interactive. I don't interact with him. He sits there. If I give him something, he takes. He doesn't complain. We don't have much, right? No, not too many arguments. Like when you read about devotees that are on the platform of Bab and how they talk to their deities. Hey, you, Vamsidas Babaji. He had Gornitaides, his worshiping pure love. So he went. He was like his very personal and familiar with them, like in Sakyabhav. Like friend, no, he was more like Vatsalya, Sakya. More, I can't say, I forget now, but something like Sakya or Vatsalya with them, like mother, father, or friend. And he was out doing Madhukari bathing in Ganga, and some thieves came in and took the cooking vessel, for the Gornitai. And he came back and he said, hey, Gornitai, what is this? You don't protect your things? This is your karai, this is your pot, cooking pot. And you let some thieves come in here and say, forget, I'm not cooking for you. You just fast. You nonsense. You have to look after your things. I go here and there and then you're not paying attention. It's a costly item, but I don't have money. I'm a vairagi. I'm not. You just fast. You figure it out. So then he stopped cooking for the Gornitai. And then some days later, someone came, gave karai. And he said, oh, ah, so now because you're hungry, you sent this karai. All right. And then, okay. Then he went out and got some shak and some sabji and this and that. And he started cooked some meal for Gornitai. Vamshi Das Babaji. Vamshi Das Babaji ki jai. So this is some prem bhav, some bhav. Sneha, Krodha, whatever, anger. So, but it's intense. It's Tanmayatam. It has power. It has Shakti. It binds the Lord. It attracts the Lord. Haro. It take Yanti. Yanti yad mam yajinomi mam. It says, you worship me, you come to me. So if you worship Krishna, yajinom, yajino yanti mam, you come to Krishna by lust and anger and hatred. So whatever we do, Tivrena Bhakti Yogena. Tivra Yogena Bhakti. It says in second canto, we should be intense about it. We want to be friendly towards Krishna. We want, oh, Krishna is my master. Then we should be an intensely dedicated, energetic, and submissive servant. And always asking, oh, my master, please, master, master, more service, more service. Because that's our intensity of seva. We're in the bhav of a servant. Master-servant relationship. Dasya bhav. Dasya rati. Like Hanuman. Hanuman always waiting. Always ready to spring into action to serve Ramachandra. He's not lying in his bed chanting his rounds. Hare Krishna. Yeah, Krishna. You know, please engage me in, Hare Krishna. Service, you know. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Hanuman is kneeling. He has one foot on the flat on the ground, and one foot just his toes are on the ground. He's crouched. He's not even sitting. He's just crouched, just like a runner posing in the blocks. The runner, he's a 440 meter runner. There's these blocks you put your feet in, then you push off to when they shoot the starting gun, blank gun. So he looks like a runner about to spring into action. His feet are like this. He has his track shoes on. No. He's crouched down like this, because if you want to spring into action, first you have to contract before you can expand. A spring, you take a spring, you contract it, and you let it go. Boing! So a cat, before a cat lunges upon a mouse or antelope, if it's a tiger, he crouches down like this. Pop! So Hanuman is crouched down, he's contracted, all his bhakti, all his dasya rati is concentrated. Tivrena bhakti yogena, this is tivra. Concentrated power. Our power, our attention is scattered, big shape. Inattention, distraction. So he crouched down, just waiting. Hanuman, go here, boom! Dasyarati Hanumanaki Jai. We're like layback sevaks. Layback, stay back, sleep back, wet back. So Hanuman is a great exemplar of pure Dasyarati. So the idea of this verse is that now Jiva Goswami, what does he say about Tanmayatam? Absorption. If anyone has these positive or negative feelings, Shukadev said, he's sure to become, if they're directed towards Lord Hari. Nityam haro vidarato. Nityam haro vidarato. Vidarato. Vidarato means directed towards Lord Hari, displayed towards Lord Hari, exhibited or shown to or acted towards Lord Hari. Then he is nityam. And these feelings, the word nityam also applies to these positive and negative feelings. Nityam bhav. You've heard of nitya seva, nitya subhav, nitya bhada, nitya mukta. So our intensity of our loving conjugal mood towards Krishna must be nityam all the time. As I mentioned, with Kans, Kansa was Nitya Bhayam. Nitya Bhayam Bhav. 24/7 popular term. Day and night he was absorbed in fear. Bhayam. The Bhav, the mood, fear. When will that boy come? As I mentioned, through the sky, through the land, through the water. How, when, where, what time will he come and kill me? It is destined. The Akashvani. The Akashvani said, Kans, the eighth son of Devaki, will kill you. But Vasudeva tricked me. It appeared to be a daughter. And he took away the son and hid him in Gokul. Now. But he was always, and that pastime is told by Jiva Goswami, I mentioned before, that Kansa was so much fearful of Krishna and his brother Balaram, because they're always together, but especially Krishna, because Krishna was predicted to kill him. But he was always with Balaram, and Balaram is very powerful and strong. So even if Kansa tries to eliminate his adversary, his enemy, his arch enemy Krishna, then Krishna's not walking around alone. He's with Subal on one side and Balaram on the other side. Subal, Balaram, very strong contenders, powerful coward boys. Balaram, he killed Pralambasura. Pralambasura means very powerful. Pralamba. Just polished him off like a fig. Nothing. Just a love tap. Gave him a love tap and liberated him. A liberating love tap. And if he can't catch this Krishna alone, he's always in Sangha. If you're in Sangha, you can't get knocked off. Even Krishna always moves in Sangha with his friends. Although he individually demolishes the demons. So this Nityam Bhav. Then harob, nityam harobirato. Then what's the result? If always we're showing a loving mood towards Krishna, a conjugal mood towards Radha and Krishna, or a sevadasi mood, nityam, day and night, month by month, then tanmayatam, yanti tanmayatam, hite. Indeed, certainly, yanti tanmayatam. He'll attain eternal absorption in his beloved Ishta Dev. Or Devi, Devata, Radharani. Always hearing, always chanting, always remembering, always praying for seva and meditating on sevas. Then, tanmayatam. Sri Jiva Goswami says, tanmayatam means this. He says that persons with positive emotions towards Krishna, friendship, intimacy, love, sneham, Soridam. They ultimately achieve much more than those who possess negative ones. And then he says, the negative emotions generally bring one the tanmayatam, yanti tanmayatam, for the negative emotions of anger and fear and envy and hatred. They bring a destination, something usually like Sayuja Mukti, or in other words, Krishna keeps them a little bit at a distance. Someone that's favorable to you, but not too favorable, you keep as your chokidar. Someone who's very favorable and very kind, you give him a room in your house. And someone who's really surrendered and really dedicated, you marry them. And you give them a room in your bed. So that's a very intimate acceptance. So those demons, he keeps them at bay. All right, you have some connection with me. And you're always thinking of me, so I must reward you. Ye tamam prapadyante tamsataiva bhajamyam. Mamavartante manasha partasarvasha. You are surrendered to me in hatred. Manmana bhavamad bhakto madhyaji manmana bhav. Your mind, the manmana bhav, your mind is always full of krodh bhayam bhav, hatred. I can't ignore you, otherwise I would be a hypocrite. I would be going against my own shastras, violating my own statements. You're surrendered unto me? You're always thinking of me? All right, stand at the gate. Brahman, Brahma Sihuja. stay. I can't see. I can't. You're. I'm blinded by the light. You can't see me because I'm blinded by the light. You can't see my form. And very good. I can't see your form. But you stay there eternally. You'll be part of the, my effulgence. But you, my dear Uddhav, you, my dear coward boys, oh my gopis, oh my sadness of the gopis, you come, Antaranga. You come near me, come close to me. I've embraced you. I'll dance with you. I'll kiss you. I'll give the tambul from my mouth, the tambul vatika, the pan I will pass from my mouth to your mouth. That's how much close and intimate I am. I want to be with you. That tanmayatam. Yanti haro tanmayatam. Hite. So Jiva Goswami says this. He says the negative emotions you get suyuja, but the positive ones, you relish the rasa of being Krishna's mother. Or you relish the rasa of being Krishna's lover. Or you relish the rasa, the surit rasa, or sakya rasa of being Krishna's bosom buddy and intimate playmate and friend. It's a matter of the desire. So this is very nice. Word for word meaning. Now, our beloved Gurudev, Srila Prabhupada, he has the most amazing purport to this verse, tika on this verse, and it's all about preaching. Because, as I mentioned, up until verse 16, from 14 to 16, this is part of the second act. The second scene of the first act. Chapter 29 is act 1 of the drama, then act 2 and 3 and 4 and 5. Five chapters, five acts. And in each act of a drama, there are five scenes. So this is the second scene, which is a theological discourse. And then the first scene was the meeting of the beloved, and a call inviting the beloveds for the rasa dance. And the third scene is some dialogue, Krishna and the gopis, which is starting in verse 17. So in this particular scene of the drama, it's a theological discourse. It's a philosophical discussion about the tenets of religion and dharma, how someone attained Krishna, and how the gopis, the sadhanas of the gopis are representing certain points. And there's no doubt about the gopis' position, although people have doubts. Because preaching is about, what is preaching all about? Removing doubts, creating conviction, creating faith, creating and eliciting surrender and attachment and seva to God. That's the purpose of preaching. So now, and this is called a discourse. There are four voices or type of speeches in the Ras Lila, the dialogue, monologue, discourse, and that's it. Dialogue, monologue, discourse, what was the other one? I forget. Narrative, thank you, narrative. We're just describing the story. So now it's discourse, so that means preaching. What we're hearing, in case you forgot, what we're hearing is Shukadeva Goswami, the guru, preaching to Maharaj Pariksit, the disciple, who raised his hand, asked a question in the middle of the narrative. And he said, how is it you're saying that the gopis, they gave up everything and they thought of Krishna as their param kanta, Krishnam vidu param kantam? So he says that for the gopis who couldn't go to see Krishna, this is the narrative in verse 11. They burned in separation from him in Tivratap, Duta Ashub, Dut Ashub, Tivratap, and the intense fire of separation. Krishna Viraha Tivratap Dut Ashub. And that intense burning fire of separation from their beloved Krishna, then their Duta or Dut Ashub, all their negative karmas, bad karmas, misfortune was burned up and eliminated. And then they attained Krishna's embrace in their heart. Loving embrace, Ashlesh. And then Pariksit says, excuse me, I have a question. Do you say that Krishnam vidu, param kantam? Krishna vidu, Veda, no. They knew Krishna as a param kanta, but yet they were, seems that their minds are caught up with lust, But you said they were free from material attachment? How is it possible? So that's the opening question, verse 12, and it goes 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. Five verses. This is scene 2 of act 1. It's a discourse, a teaching, a class between the teacher and the disciple. And so we're hearing, now we heard 12, we heard 13, 14. This is 15. So he's talking about, okay, the gopis, he saw this to the gopis, they had lust for Krishna. But there's so many kinds of people, as I mentioned, Shishupal, I told you before, in the 7th canto, out of envy, and I told you in the 10th canto, out of fear, Kamsa approached. Did you forget? All these type of bhavas, they attain perfection, tanmayatam, according to their desire, because they focused it on Krishna. So seeing that this is the basic thread of the discussion, Prabhupada decides to give his commentary on this verse of preaching, where Shukadev Goswami is preaching about positive and negative emotions, or bhavas, directed towards Bhagavan Sri Krishna, Bhagavan Hari, and how they give the supreme perfect result of Yanti Tanmayatam Haro. One goes to Krishna, one attains and achieves Krishna by full absorption, Tanmayatam, and any one of these emotions, which are intense. These are very intense and powerful emotions. Fear, the grip of fear, lust, anger, parental affection, friendly affection, intimate love. Now Prabhupada, he steps aside, he decides to discuss not the Adi Bodhika parts of the verse, which is what's being discussed here, the elements of this story and what's the verse and this preaching. He decides to talk about how it applies to the reader. And Prabhupada's whole tika on this verse, it's amazing. Without trying to understand the thinking of Prabhupada, and I can see the takeoff point was, this is preaching. These are verses of, this is preaching. A theological discourse. Theos, God. It's a lecture about God. It's a college lecture about God. About how God can be approached by different emotions. One can approach the divine and become absorbed in the divine by different emotions, which are part and parcel of our human experience. Those emotions, which are very human, fear, anger, and lust and friendship, when they are directed and focused on God, then we become godly. We achieve God. We go to heaven, the spiritual world. And let's listen to Prabhupada's purport. It's quite amazing. Srila Prabhupada's Tika on verse 16 of the 29th chapter. In the Bhagavad Gita, there it is. It's on film, no? Bhagavad Gita as it is, by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In the 18th chapter, in other words, the theme of Prabhupada's purport is that preachers of Krishna consciousness are very dear to the Lord and special to the Lord, just like the Braja Gopis that we're discussing. We're talking about the Braja Gopis specifically, that their lust, intense love, their intense, selfless, self-forgetful love for the pleasure and happiness and satisfaction of Lord Hari, Sri Krishna. They're so special and so intimate and so dear, and so are the preachers, the pracharics of Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada is taking the gopis, the Adi Daivika element, the Nayakas, the gopis, the heroines of the love story, and bringing that down to the platform of immediate relevancy. Immediate relevancy. How is it related to me? How is it relevant to me? How is it beneficial to me? Who am I and who are they? I am Krishna Das, Radha Dasi. And I try in my own way to preach to my children, or preach to myself, or preach to someone. Preach to my mind. He's a very big, very difficult person. I've been trying to preach to him for years. He just won't surrender. I've given him so much prasadam. I've taken him on so many yatras. I've taken him to meet so many sadhus. I've asked him to perform so many ekadasi vratas. But still, my mind will, this guy, Mr. Mind, Mr. Man, he just won't surrender to Krishna. Even I put neck beads around, I gave him neck beads to wear, I gave him a set of japa beads. But still, for 37 years, I'm preaching to this guy named Mr. Man, and he still won't surrender. You follow? He's the most difficult person to preach to. I have so many students I brought to Krishna consciousness, somehow or other, and so many businessmen and married people. But this guy, it's our own mind. Mr. Man, it's me. So preaching is on all levels. So Prabhupada says to the preachers. In the Bhagavad Gita 18th chapter, Krishna also states that one who is engaged in Krishna consciousness preaching is very dear to him. How so? Because as the gopis face so many impediments and obstacles to meet Krishna and get out from their homes, a preacher has to face many difficulties and obstacles and impediments in his struggle to preach pure Krishna consciousness. The gopis had so many impediments and obstacles in their struggle to get out of the house to preach pure Krishna consciousness, which means to love Krishna. Preaching means to share love of Krishna, to experience love of Krishna. So they want to preach by experiencing love of Krishna and sharing their love with Krishna. You can very clearly see Prabhupada's, his Tanmayatam. You can very clearly see in this purport, Srila Prabhupada's Tanmayatam with the Leelas of Krishna and the gopis. Sometimes the preachers, like the gopis, have to suffer bodily injuries. Their husbands are standing with sticks, Jiva Goswami says, ready to beat them and they bolted the doors and locked them in their rooms. You can't go out! Stay in your room, you try to get out, I'll break your bones with this lati, danda. Sometimes the devotee preaching have to suffer bodily injuries. They get punched, they get break their arm, they get kicked. I know, myself. And sometimes the preacher has to meet death also. All of this is taken as a great austerity on behalf of Krishna. Gopis suffered in separation. Tivra tap. They burned. Their minds are burning. Their hearts are burning. That's suffering. Totally suffer. That's an austerity. Krishna, therefore, has said that such a preacher is very, very dear to him. If Krishna's enemies, like Shishupal and Kans, can expect salvation simply by concentrating their minds on Krishna, then what to speak of persons that are so dear to Krishna, like the gopis and the preachers? What is the conclusion? The conclusion is that yanti, hari yanti, hari dam yanti, attaining or achieving the dam, there's devi dam, hari dam, like this. Attaining Sri Dham Vrindavan, Prabhupada says, the conclusion is that the salvation of those who are preaching Krishna consciousness in this world is guaranteed in all circumstances. But such preachers never care for liberation, because factually, one who is engaged in preaching Krishna consciousness, bhakti, has already achieved liberation. So this is Prabhupada is explaining that the gopis became liberated by approaching Krishna with lust, and the preachers that are preaching Krishna consciousness, they are guaranteed a liberation. Just to step back to, because Prabhupada is pointing us towards the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, and about preachers and seeing the correlation between preachers and their intimacy with Krishna, and the sadhana siddha gopis and their intimacy with Krishna. Because oftentimes the preachers of Krishna consciousness are also sadhana siddha gopis. Apakwa. Apakwa. Apakwa and pakwa. Kacha and paka. Ripe and unripe. So externally, in one sadhaka rup, he's preaching. Seva sadhaka rupena, sirupena chatri. He's a pracharak, he's preaching. Bhagavad Gita class, Bhagavatam, Harinam, etc. Cultivation, counseling, questions, answers, internet preaching, chat, this, that, letters, so many things that preachers do. Exhibitions, dioramas, rathiyatra, utsas, festivals, janmastamis, outreach, book printing, writing articles, it's unlimited. But then there's the inner life, the secret inner life of the Pracharak. As they say in Hindi, preaching is the belching of eating. So much bhajan, so many astakams and stotrams and memorizing shlokas and studying all these tattvas and Bhagavat tattva and Nam tattva and Jap. And that's bhajan, nirjan bhajan, inner development, inner life. And then eating so much dal, rice, sabji, sweet chicken. Prabhu, aham vaishvanaro bhutva praninam dehamashita pranapana samayukta panchamyanam chaturvidham. Hey vaishvanaro, hey jataragni, do your thing, man. Heavy bhog, bhariya bhog. Fire of digestion, Krishna, please help me. God helps those who help themselves. Well, look, I help myself to so much prasadam. You know, God helps those who help themselves. So listen, I really help myself to so many helpings of dal and rice and kachoris and sabji and chutney. So now please, you know, God help me and dispose of my food by digesting it. So this is the inner life that this sadhaka who's preaching, he may be a sadhana siddha, an apakwa. He's cultivating this mood of Gopi Bhav, Rupanuga Vaishnav, Rupanuga Bhakti, like the sadhana siddha gopis. So he's preaching as his outward sadhaka, seva, but his inner life and his siddhrupena, manasik seva, he's cultivating the moods and bhavas and meditating on the sevas of the sadhana siddha gopis and the gopis themselves. So therefore, that's the outward life and the inward life are basically like that. As the gopis and the sadhana siddha gopis are so much pleasing to Krishna with their aspirations, their intense bhavas and burning and separation, Krishna viraha, tivra tap, then in the same way that those gopis, then those sadhakas who are aspiring gopis, or they're aspiring for swarup siddhi, as in Madhurati, they're also equally pleasing to the Lord because they're spreading the glories of Radha and Krishna and the gopis. So Prabhupada brings out this point. So let us look at this verse because they're beautiful verses. And as I said, one way or another, we're all preaching, either to our minds, Mr. Mann, who's a very difficult person to convince. He's such a Gnostic. He's Gnostic and he's just a non-believer. As much as you preach to your mind, so many more doubts will come. Every time I preach to my mind, then he argues with so many doubts. I said, forget it. I'll preach to you later. I'll go preach to somebody else right now. It's too difficult. Every time I go to preach to Mr. Mann, there's so many obstacles. And he brings up so many questions and so many doubts. I'd rather preach to some new bhaktas. So now let's look at these verses in Gita. He says 18 chapter. He didn't say which ones, but it means 18, 68, and 69. How one who's engaged in preaching Krishna consciousness is very dear to Krishna. Of course, in that tika of Srila Prabhupada on this 10th canto, 29th verse, number 15, Prabhupada is actually giving the translation of 1869. So we'll start with 1868 and see what that says. Ya idam paramam guyam mad bhaktesh vavidasyati bhakti mayi param kritva mam evaish yat yasham shaya. Oh, that's nice confirmation. Asham shaya, confirm, no doubt. Yahiram paramam guyam, one who explains the supreme secret to the devotees, the parama guyam. Ultimately, the supreme secret of Bhagavad Gita is Braj Bhav, Braj Bhakti, the Gopis Bhakti. There are many secrets. Raja Vidya, Raja Guyam, Bhavajam Paramabhavam. Says this is a Raja Vidya, Raja Guyam. It's a Guyam. It's a secret, this knowledge of the Atman, Paramatma, and Krishna. But then when we talk about Guyati, this word Guyam has progressions throughout the 18th chapter. So here, it's secret, more secret, most secret. So most secret is Paramatma. Paramam ya idam paramam guyam. Perfect, more perfect, and most perfect. Purna, Purnatara, Purnatam. So Paramam Guhyam. Prabhupada explains the supreme secret to the devotees. Devotional service is guaranteed. And at the end he will come back to me. Mam evaishyas. Mam evaishyat. Evaishyat yashamshaya. Without a doubt. It's not even saying that in the translation. But without any doubt. Translation simply says, for one who explains the supreme secret to the devotees, devotional service is guaranteed, and at the end of his life, he will come to me. Kritva. Eshyati. Eshyati means he comes to me, without a doubt. Then Krishna emphasizes, Krishna says that in case Arjuna is doubting what Krishna is saying, because you can read someone's mind, and you say something, and then the person is looking at you incredulously, like, no, it's true, it's a fact. Like you say something, so-and-so, and you're looking like, really? I don't believe you. The face is telling, I don't believe you. The mind is saying, I doubt, I don't. No, it's true. Really, I'm telling you, it's true. You'll add that thing at the end of your sentence. It's very common vernacular and speech among human beings to add some emphasis to elicit more belief if you detect some disbelief. No, I'm telling you, I saw it. It's in the Bhagavatam on verse so-and-so. Oh, really? Oh, let me see. So Krishna is doing the same thing. At the very end, he tags on, oh, without a doubt, asamshaya. Arjuna, I see in your face, you're saying, really? That if I simply tell these secrets of Braj Bhakti, I tell the secrets about these gopis that they're always think of you, that you're Priyajis, your Priya Bhaktas, Manmana Bhavamad Bhakto Madhyaji Mam Namaskaru Mami Vaishyasi Satyam Te Pratijane Priyosime. If I talk about your Priyas, Priyosis, your Prayasis, Krishna Prayasi, Namo Namo Tosi Prayasi, Tosi Prayasi, Vrinda Prayasi, Radha Prayasi, your Prayasis, your very, very dear ones and near ones, your Gopikas, Vrindadevi, Radha, Radhika, Lalita. If I tell about them, and then you'll be very happy. This is the Paramam Guhyam. They talk about the love lives of Krishna, the intimate lovers and greatest devotees of Krishna, that are always seeing Krishna everywhere. Yomam Pashyati Sarvatra, Sarvam Chamayi Pashyati. Those that are Paramam Guhyam? Yes. Abhidasyati. Abhidasyati. You should explain the secret to the devotees. And your own bhakti-mayi, you become bhakti-mayi. By this practice, machitamatkata pranas bodhyantas parasparam kathayantas chamantityam tushanti charamanti cham. By this practice in satsang, then you become bhakti-mayi param. You'll get that highest bhakti unto me. You'll get that. You'll get that braj bhakti. You'll get that gopika bhakti. You distribute, you give, you worship, you serve, and you'll get. And you'll come to me. Mam, evaishyasi. Really? I don't. No, without a doubt, asamshaya. Okay, without a doubt. So this is the translation. Now let's look at another translation of the same verse. He who instructs the most confidential knowledge of Bhagavad Gita to my bhaktas will attain para bhakti to me. He will attain first parabhakti. It says, bhakti mayi means my, param, kritva, it will be done. He is preaching bhakti, tattva, bhagavat tattva, nam tattva, prem tattva, rasa tattva, dham tattva. And what will he get? He get all the bhakti that's mixed up in that preaching. He's distributing these tattvas which are full of bhakti mayi tattva. Bhagavat tattva is full of bhakti, dham tattva is full of bhakti, nam tattva is full of bhakti. So then he'll get para bhakti. You give and you get. You give love, you get love. You give anger, you get anger. You give envy, you get envy. So then he'll get this first para bhakti. Then what will happen? As it says, a progression. He's instructing the most confidential knowledge to bhaktas. He'll attain para bhakti to me, and he'll become free from doubts, and then he'll attain me. This is the progression. That's why they say the teacher learns twice. The teacher learns twice, or at least maybe he learns. He studies, he gets some idea, then he presents to others. And by that presentation or by that teaching or instruction, then he learns twice. Teacher learns twice. So he gets parabhakti, and by that preaching he gets free from doubts, because he also, in the process of preaching or teaching, he eliminates and removes the doubts of others, and his own as well, at the same time. And then he gets the supreme destination, he comes to me. Finally attains to me. This 1868, it describes the preacher. In 1868, it describes the preacher and the audience. And the audience. So 1868, it says that there's the preacher. And who's the audience? The devotees. Anyone who preaches this secret amongst devotees, madbhakta. All right? So this is the subject here. His audience, the listeners and the receivers, the audience. Then they get three benefits. The verse describes the symptoms and destiny of the preacher of Bhagavad Gita and the devotee listeners. The preacher gets his bhakti, he gets his doubts removed, and he comes to Krishna. And whoever is listening to him, they will receive bhakti, and they will have their doubts removed, and they will go to Krishna. These are 3 points. Now, word for word, I think we'll have to continue on the 7th because we're out of time. It's 10:05. So, we'll do the word for word and we'll continue with our Bhagavad Gita class in the middle of Ras Lila Katha on the 7th, day after tomorrow, by Krishna's grace. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.